Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
I spilled my cupcake.
Oh no, the show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment. Maybe he's getting some towels for that cupcake.
Cupcake.
But running the boards is Joey D's.
I don't have a cupcake.
Aww.
I can't even spill mine.
Well, on today's show, Joey will be talking about the Foundation.
That's a cupcake.
Oh, it's a roller coaster, that's for darn sure.
It might have frosting.
We will be talking with Gareth von Kallenbach, who's got some interesting video game news, including Blizzard, Call of Duty, and Back for Blood. And of course, we got the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com.
.com.
It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More.
Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Yeah, so many ways to get a hold of us, so many ways to listen to us. So I just hope you use one of those. And if that way has a way to review us, give us a 5-star or a thumbs up or, I don't know, gold stars. I don't know how those things work
sprinkles
anymore.
Sprinkles on top.
Yeah, give us some sprinkles on that cupcake of podcasting.
Yes.
Cupcake of podcasting? I don't know. Anyway, let's get right in with our good friend, Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. We've got lots of video game news, like I mentioned. So here he is. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And Gareth, there seems to be a lot of issues and non-doing things over on in the Blizzard campus. We've talked about some of the stuff going on recently, but now it looks like this is now affecting their games.
It is, and that was kind of expected. You had, essentially a trickle-down effect, as these things tend to happen. And first off, it came out a few days back that Blizzard was not going to be holding BlizzCon in February. Now, traditionally, BlizzCon is done at a later time of the year, right about now. And when they had switched to the online format, there were a lot of questions about would they try to do one in February and then try to resume live events in November. Everything we had heard was obviously they were full ahead with doing the planned online event in February. Now, right there, that kind of brought some question into play because in California, live events are returning. I mean, yes, they have various protocols, but as we have discussed, in a few weeks, Comic-Con Special Edition is going to be happening. And yes, it is not the volume that they would get for the main show in July. And yes, there are things like vaccine mandates and masks and a lot of CDC protocols. The fact is, live conventions have been allowed to happen. And there are a lot of people going, well, gee, if that was going to happen in November, why wouldn't they have an option for a live event in February, when in theory things will be better? And you could, you know, make the argument maybe they didn't have enough time and so on, but, you know, people wonder. Mm-hmm. So they go and they announce BlizzCon Online's not going to happen. And a lot of people immediately look to the trouble that they were in and said, okay, it sounds to me like they just don't want to have to meet the comment people kept saying to me was they don't want to answer questions from the press. And my thought was, right, but when you're doing an online event, it's not like being at BlizzCon where, the reporters can be in media like that with people, or they can pass various members mm-hmm. in the halls. It seems to me like an online event, it's a very easy way to control the information.
Yeah, or even just like the commentary and stuff like that as well, just in the simple fact of you can just say that we got all these questions that came up beforehand and literally not address any of the ones that you don't want to have addressed. You don't need actual reporters there, as iffy as that may or may not be, but just to have them, like you just said, control the narrative and not even have to deal with that. But the fact that they're not doing any of that is,
The last one, it was all pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
There were no question and answer streams. I mean, it was all basically, here it is, and here comes your press releases with your little photos and video clips and everything from that. And sure, if you had questions, you could submit them. Doesn't mean it's going to get past the gatekeeper. And there you have it. Now, of course, you would have people saying, I asked this question, it didn't get answered. But, that's common. You and I know that
totally.
After a major show, it's very common for a lot of companies just to throttle back and say, we're in recovery mode. People are taking time off. And my first thought was, I said, okay, obviously I don't think these games, nothing's going to come out, because you're not going to miss an opportunity to heavily promote your upcoming releases when, in theory, the next opportunity of note would be E3. If it's a lot, you know, they're saying the live show is going to resume next June, but you have to see what's going on. And traditionally, that's not something they often take part in, because they do their own thing. And then lo and behold, look what happened. There was the trickle down theory from it. Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 are not going to be coming out next year. Supposedly the official comment was they are being delayed for extra time. And again, the, you know, negative people are coming out saying, right, it's because they don't want the problems right now of how do we deal with this negative image we have while we're rolling out two games, and is it going to lead to questions, and how do we promote them, and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, then you had the co-leadership individual step down after only 3 months on the job, and she's going off to something else, but very suspiciously, at least in the releases, said, I'm not sure what my next step is.
Yeah, and that just means getting the heck out of, I mean, obviously we know of how toxic of a work environment it was before, and I think at this point in time, either non-recoverable in terms of like maybe a person being able to change anything, or just the simple fact of maybe she was just a figurehead type person.
And that's what's so difficult to figure out, because you can play these things so many different ways and say, maybe they just wanted out. Maybe they were a figurehead. Maybe they didn't like the way things were going, or things didn't happen fast enough. Or maybe they simply said, you know what, the holidays are coming up. This is my time to get out, take a few months to just clear my head, get everything situated. While I may not have any solid plans, you would think that they at least have enough offers or inklings as to what their next step would be. And maybe it's simply that I'm going to take some time off for myself. I'm going to, weigh my offers and then come back at it fresh in the new year.
Yeah, and we'll have to see where this goes, if we get any further developments in Overwatch 2 or Diablo 4. And I have to think, even at that point in time, it might just be something like they've been doing a big overhaul on a lot of World of Warcraft stuff, things that now seem to be problematic that maybe they didn't think were before, or they always have been, but they were just able to fly under the radar. I wonder how many of the things that they have to kind of take a look at, and they've realized there's a whole lot of stuff that maybe they have to rewrite quests, maybe they have to redo cutscenes, maybe they have just to, you know, rename characters like they had to do with the original Overwatch. So I think maybe going over that with a fine-tooth comb, they just don't have any idea what's going to go on with that. And, you know, that might be for the better, but that just means we're not going to be getting the games for quite a while.
Exactly.
Moving on from that, there's a big release today in the Call of Duty world. We got Vanguard.
Absolutely. So back to World War II, back to, weapons that may not quite have the range or accuracy that some of the newer ones do, and definitely some of them with some longer loading times, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But what is interesting, though, is you're going to be getting some really unusual mixes. Like, for example, you're going to be getting your standard Call of Duty with the campaign. You're going to be getting all the multiplayer maps, the multiplayer modes. Eventually, the Vanguard content is quickly going to swing over to Warzone. But this one is shipping with a zombie mode.
Oh.
And, you know, traditionally, the zombie mode tends to be only with the Treyarch games, and that the others have had to have various multiplayer modes. People might remember Call of Duty World War II had those very large team-based modes where you had to essentially like put up a barricade, take down a barricade, defend an area. You could go into the tanks, that sort of thing. It was more like a big group objective-based option. And they have said, nope, we're gonna have a zombie mode right out the bat with this one. As usual, they're saying that the season updates that are coming are all going to be free. There'll be lots of new maps, new contents, modes all the way out through the year, as they've done with the last couple of releases. And, you know, as we talked about, Black Ops has continued to put out content. They just put out some Halloween content recently, so really nice to see that fresh stuff is coming right up to the release of this one. And it'll be interesting to see what the reception is, because traditionally you always get the naysayers of, it's the same thing every year. I don't like this. We had people in some of the early, you know, playtest. The graphics look dated. I don't like this. I don't like this new game mode. And it's like, you know, again, wait till we see the final game. How many, let's not forget Aliens Colonial Marines. It looked absolutely fantastic at all the trade shows and all the trailers. And then we got the game and we're like, wow, this does not look at all like what we were shown. So there's a reason this game is the top selling game every single year and the franchise. And, you know, let's be honest. I think it's a case of that people are looking forward to something new in the series. We talked about the anti-cheat software. How is this going to play out? How is this going to affect the esports coming down the line? But first and foremost, people want to get their hands on it. And how does the multiplayer work in this one? I played the beta of it, and like most Call of Duties, there is an adjustment. People say it's the same thing every year. I don't find that to be the case, because there are subtle differences in the weaponry, in the way the response works. You know, there were some things, like I found that this seems to me that it's moving slower than I was accustomed to. But then you remember World War II weaponry tends to load a little differently, maybe it's a little heavier. So they adjust this. And of course, that's why we have patches. They'll tweak this. This is too slow. This is too fast. This is not accurate enough. This is too accurate, you know. And I'm curious. It's funny because, as I said, they've been putting out so much content for Cold War. I'm going, you know, you knew Vanguard was coming. You knew Vanguard was coming. And I sat down on Sunday and it was like, oh, wow, it's out this Friday. I thought it was still a couple more weeks.
Me too.
Here we go.
So it'll be exciting for people to get back onto that, and obviously for some people to complain. But, I mean, when it comes down to a Call of Duty is Call of Duty, and if you want to play it, you're going to play it.
Exactly.
And finally, it seems like maybe, now, when you told me this, it sounds like Back 4 Blood is having some player issues, because you told me that Left 4 Dead is actually getting more of a player base now?
That is what they are, what Valve had been reporting on Steam.
Ooh.
Is that Back 4 Blood has more is seeing less players than Left 4 Dead 2. Now, the, you know, part that I point out is you have to say this is only on Steam.
Oh, okay.
This is not counting out your consoles. This is not counting other platforms that the game may be released on for PC. And one of the ideas behind it actually makes somewhat sense. The belief is that what Back 4 Blood has done with the people have gone in, they played it. Many people have completed the campaigns, and now they're taking on some of the other modes. It's fired up nostalgia for the original Left 4 Dead games.
Okay.
And so what they're saying is that a lot of players, as including those who, let's be honest, might not have played Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead 2. They got a taste of what things are being offered in Back 4 Blood, and they're saying, you know, I like this. I want to go back, and I want to experience Left 4 Dead 2 again. And, of course, this is creating that whole buzz of, well, you know, like when that fan-approved mod came out for Left 4 Dead that included the new episode, perhaps this is going to light a fire under Valve and say, hey, you know, maybe it's time to revisit this franchise and put a Left 4 Dead 3 out there. And, you know, there are people like me going, I certainly wouldn't mind a Back 4 Blood 2 and a Left 4 Dead 3. I'm concerned.
You know what? It's interesting on that point, because I didn't even think that that would be the either the nostalgia factor or the fact that people hadn't played it before. I feel that that's also something along the lines when you get a new Borderlands game or any sort of stuff like that, where people will want to go back and play those. So this actually does make sense in a non-worrying sort of way.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting you mentioned Borderlands, because people forget when we finally got Borderlands 3, they released a free DLC for Borderlands 2 that helped bridge the gap. Now, I don't mind saying it. I no longer had Borderlands 2 on the computer. I'd completed that in the DLCs years ago. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, guess what? We're coming out with a new free DLC that is going to essentially bridge the gap between the games. I had to install Borderlands 2 again. Thankfully, my character and everything was right there and boom, back. played the DLC. When it was done, was able to erase it. And then when I got into Borderlands 3, while it wasn't absolutely necessary, it did add some interesting context to it. And made things, and it was also nice to get to get used to kind of the world again. And that's where we are. We're sitting there going, are we going to get any new content other than mission events and stuff? Who knows? But we have Tiny Tina's Wonderland coming early next year.
Yeah,
so fingers crossed.
Exactly. Lots of fun stuff going on with that. Really do appreciate the insight on all of that because it was worrying. So thank you very much, Gareth. Again, you can find Gareth at Scoot and Reviewed. You can find that at sknr.net or all over social media. You can hit up our Facebook page to find all the social as well. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you, Gareth. Again, Gareth von Kallenbach from Scoot and Review. That is sknr.net. Now, going from the roller coaster that is video games to the roller coaster that is The Foundation, the TV show on Apple TV Plus that is taken from Isaac Asimov's book of the same name. And depending on whom is watching it or whom has read the books, either it is a beautiful, wonderful show or a cluster F disaster. And Joe kind of goes back and forth on this. We've listened to BJ seems to be very, he enjoys it. He doesn't remember the books, so I think that kind of might help a little bit on that. And I don't think you've read the books, right, Joe?
I have not.
Okay, so at this point, you're really kind of just taking it as it is. And if you've listened back to any of our podcasts, depending on whom they're talking about on the show or whom they're focusing on, either you're like down for it or you're kind of like, dang.
That's exactly how I would describe it, Rev. Where does the episode decide to focus on? Will it be on the main character we started off with or the main character that got introduced in episode 2 and or 3, I should say?
Which seemed on the last one was kind of back on to being the focus again.
Hey, guess what, Rev?
Is she back?
She's back, and it's another great episode.
Oh, there you go.
How about that?
So you really do like it when the character who wasn't the main character at the very beginning is the main character in the episode.
Yeah, and it's not even the warden's fault, who is the character that I don't like in this show.
Fair
and
enough.
It's because, again, I think it had to do with editing, but this last episode, episode 7, Mysteries and Martyrs, went focused back on Harry Sullivan, or I believe it's Sullivan, and the rest of the main characters that we kind of met at the first two episodes, and this mystery behind, why does his math want to lead to the Foundation ending as we watch the Emperor get challenged by the very spiritual religious race that was predicted by Harry to cause one of the downfalls and everything.
Oh.
We get the other main character's name is eluding me, who is supposed to be the young prodigy, astronomer, scientist, mathematician, whoever you want to put it, awakens again to solve the mystery of where she's going and why Harry is a hologram, because he's supposed to be dead.
But he's a hologram.
But he's not dead. He's a hologram, because apparently we found out in this episode you can download your consciousness into another body.
Oh, okay. So kind of like some other thing.
Altered
like,
carbon, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Altered carbon, yeah.
But it's not you. It's a copy of you, because it's you with all your memories up to the current
up to that
moment.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah, but they kind of allude that you might be able to wipe some of them if you want. You're not really sure. It looks like an exact copy.
Well, and that's the interesting point, even with like altered carbon. It was like you have a save point up, like in a video game, it's a save point. So you have to go back or you're not going to have any more memories up until that point where you've saved.
Yep, and honestly, after this episode, I 100% understand what they were trying to do with this show. Now they were trying to be Game of Thrones meets Altered Carbon, but the problem is, if you remember watching Altered Carbon, they established the rules of their world very quickly.
They did, yes,
and they don't really do that in this show. We're just finding about this in episode 7, right? So really know like where this like drama is coming from. It wouldn't be a surprise, right, if you're like, oh well, now I get it, Harry's alive because I found out in this episode 7 that there are clones, kind of a thing.
That's interesting just in the terms of, seeing it in like a rewatchability factor, because once you've realized that some sort of, it's kind of like watching Fight Club, and if you don't know the twist, well, whatever, but finding out the twist and then going back to watch it just to see how the other actors are, or the characters are dealing with this thing that you now know about.
Yeah, it just leaves you kind of sitting there being like, I knew there were clones because we know the Emperor clones himself, but
yeah,
you kind of assume he's the only one that can do that. Because money or whatever, you know, they hide the technology.
Absolutely.
Then you find out that there's a bunch of hidden technology, not just this. There's an entire planet-sized spaceship that's jumping randomly throughout the galaxy that they've hidden from everyone as well.
Cool.
Which is really cool. Like, and get this, the character, the warden that I don't like, who's been stranded on this planet her whole life,
yeah,
is the one that's going to the planet-jumping ship, you know, that she's never interacted with before, whatever, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Main character syndrome, you know, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering why we aren't leading with this. Why was this not where we went with the show? Where there's no hidden idea about this insane technology.
The one thing that I can only think that they might be thinking is just that maybe they feel the viewer isn't going to be savvy enough to like get like an information dump when you're getting all of this information. It reminds me why they decided to turn the humans into batteries in the Matrix. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be essentially just like a neural net. And so that's how the computers would do all their computing, would be these humans are in there and they're able to use the electricity through the brains or whatever, you know, stuff that I can't explain. And then the normal person might not be able to grok. So they just go, batteries, Duracell, easy. Everyone can understand that sort of thing.
And that's that subtlety that this show missed. And I'm not sure if it's better in the books, because it could be, because sometimes in the books, your mind suspends certain disbeliefs because you're kind of viewing it yourself, right?
And they have longer time to explain things.
Yeah, whereas in this one, you're kind of like, why does the character that's supposed to like kind of be a farmer and know nothing about technology, really, the one that's on the space station that's apparently a jumping planet that, you know, she's going to have to work with, this doesn't really add up, you know, it's just very odd, which might just be one of those things. But we found out one other thing.
Ooh, what's that?
Oh, it's very exciting, Rev. It turns out the character who, again, I don't know why I can never remember her name. Well, I can tell you why, because she was out of the show for about half of it.
Oh, no.
She now has an ability that I'm going to go with Future Sight as the name of. She can see the future, but only about a moment or two before it happens.
That reminds me of that movie with Nick Cage.
Yes, very much so. That 60-second one before the world was going to blow up and Nick had to figure out where the bombs were.
Yeah.
So this was kind of alluded to, right? And we kind of had this feeling she was something special and it was more than just math. So now we know that she might have some inert ability, kind of like a mutant does, to see the future. Get this, though.
Uh-oh.
That's probably the same ability that the warden has that I hated because it was her whole Mary Sue thing for the whole time, right?
Yeah.
And it made no sense because it didn't have any connection with anyone. It literally was just like they were trying to do two opposite storylines. Now you find that they're actually together, which obviously was going to be down the line what was going to happen. But you look at the way they tell the story and you're like, okay, I got a question for you guys. Why did we not just do that first storyline with Harry and the chick and whatever, and they go to, like, they just have that storyline, and then we go to the warden storyline?
Yeah.
And it makes way more sense. There's this mystery. You find out what happened instead of having to wait literal entire episodes to go back to these characters.
That's funny.
I just don't get it.
I love it, too, because I think I've said this almost every week. It's just that, again, there's 10 episodes in this first season. I hope that the 10th episode ends in a satisfying kind of tie a bow on at least these storylines to move it forward sort of aspect of it. Because, like, again, I just want to be like, does it work as a full series? And would this be better had it been bingeable as opposed to as they're doing it now with the weekly releases?
It 100% would have been better bingeable, that's for sure. I mean, I don't have any doubt about that. I do think that if you looked at the specific storylines just for scene for scene, not the way they're shot in the Game of Thrones sense, they'd probably also work better. You know, it's one of those things, I don't know how they do it in, you know, Hollywood or anywhere else, where you have to come up with this idea of, okay, how do we keep people's attention? How do we get them coming back for more?
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, and all that stuff. But I will say, the storyline is really good. The Pharaoh storyline is incredible. It's a great way to look at how societies crumble and why they crumble, kind of a thing. And the acting's, you know, fantastic. And the scenery, even the costumes, I mean, it's all very good.
It's enough to, I mean, I just love it because you are frustrated a lot of the times watching it, but you're still going back to it.
Yeah, it's more frustration. Like, I can tell you just looking at the story that, I mean, the book is probably great. Like, it does, I mean, I can see exactly where they're going and how they weave it, right? It's just unfortunately, again, with the product that gets put in front of you sometimes, it doesn't always translate as well.
Exactly, yeah.
But, I mean, at the end of it, am I going to tell you to probably watch it? Yeah, I mean, it's got enough money in it, you know? You got a $1 billion budget or whatever the heck it was. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, super expensive. I know it looks beautiful. I've seen some of the trailers and the stuff like that. It looks beautiful. So I feel that, yeah, I feel a lot of people are going to be down for it, especially if you're super into sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I would. I mean, I don't want to say I would recommend it. I would say if you can stand the slow slog, right, mm-hmm. that some of those sci-fi adventures have, yeah. then you're going to enjoy it regardless.
Try before you buy sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe, and it's on Apple TV Plus, so maybe get a trial.
It's free. Like, free-ish, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah
to an extent, yeah.
Well, now it's time to get away from the foundation and get to...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Hey, Vicky. It's Friday. I think there's maybe a movie or two coming out.
There actually is more than the one that you're probably thinking of. And
oh yeah.
The problem with this is that this movie has been review bombed.
Oh,
it's another one of those.
No.
And it's a lot of to do. They're getting, it's a lot of trolls that are not liking that there is a, you know, gay character, gay superhero. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of other stuff going on as well. So you're going to have to take this rating with a grain of salt.
Okay.
As of right now, The Eternals, Marvel's most anticipated movie at the moment.
Yeah,
until,
we're this year right now. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Until Spider-Man, right?
Truth.
Is at 52%.
52%?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Now, when you get review bombed, is that just the people, not the critics?
That's my question, right? About that. Like, I don't think there is audience score yet, right?
Not yet, but everywhere I'm seeing, it's like, okay, I mean... I've seen some people who have gotten to see the screener early and they're like, it's not the best movie out of all the Marvel movies by any means, but it's still a pretty awesome movie. So for it to get that low of a score makes me wonder if the people who were the critics kind of were swayed.
Yeah, like, yeah, because I even had to look right now. I had to pull it up, too, just to make sure. Yeah, there's no audience score as of this time because no audience members have seen it unless they possibly saw it.
On a screener, but usually those are even a type of critic.
Yeah, so this is very interesting on that. And I know that I've read a couple of reviews, I think one of the IGN ones, where it's... They're saying essentially that it's a really great movie until kind of towards the end when they get into the cosmic stuff.
Mm.
And then it starts to get a little too big for its britches.
Gotcha.
And the fact that it's still a very long movie, I think, is kind of one of those things. I mean, you're dealing with 10 characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're only, you know, surrounding, you know, focusing on a couple of them to kind of keep that story small. But it's still about all of the Eternals.
And it's not so much that it's 10 characters. They're 10 unknown characters. It's not like when we got Avengers. Like, we already had seen almost every single one of the Avengers in their own movie, or at least previously together with somebody else, like Thor, we saw Hawkeye, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So we were familiar with these characters, and, you know, they're... I learned a new word, foibles. I think that's the right.
Foibles.
Foibles. I think I'm using it correctly. Anyways, if I'm not, don't tell me. But yeah, we don't know anything about these characters.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just looking at all of these, and a lot of it seems that the scale and the scope shouldn't make it dull. But and I've heard also that because the director is known for her like kind of like sweeping landscapes and all that stuff, and a lot of people are kind of like, all right, we kind of get the point. But, I mean, I guess if you want to have, like, a fast-forward superhero movie, maybe it's just not all action and flash like people are expecting in a superhero movie. I'm very excited to go see this movie. I'm going to see it this weekend. I'm not going to let the reviews dissuade me because, I mean, it's still a Marvel movie. There'll still be some connections. I want to see how they're going to deal with the Celestials and all of it.
And when a lot of the people went to go see, like, critics or reviewers or whatever went a few weeks back... Something big got spoiled. If you haven't heard.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Don't look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, yeah.
It's out there. Somebody put out the review basically in a tweet, put the spoiler, and it's a credit scene that
end
you know,
credit scene.
Has nothing really happened to do with the movie, but it kind of ruins that because a lot of people wait for those to see what's going to happen.
It's usually the
yeah
moment, especially with Marvel. Like, that's how we got, you know. To see, like, where we were going to go next in the series. And I don't want to say it ruined it, but that's a bummer.
It is. It's a bummer. And it, again, it doesn't affect the story of the Eternals and in this movie. But at the same point in time, it's got far-reaching effects going forward with Phase 4.
I won't be in town this weekend. I'm hoping wherever I am, I can go see it.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
But there is a movie I could see if I had Apple TV Plus.
Oh, the Apple TV Plus, yes.
There is a movie coming out called Finch, and it's the Tom Hanks robot movie.
Yeah, I think we might have talked about this a little while back when the trailer first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's post-apocalyptic.
It's a man, a robot, and his dog. It's their family. But it's getting 76% as of right now.
I think that really kind of helps the fact that, A, it's Tom Hanks, and you can watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Yep.
Like with the Eternals also, it's the simple fact of some people aren't down really for going to the theaters still yet, and this is going to be in the theaters. Fortunately, I'm fine with that because you can get the reserve seats and you're all good on that end. I do want to see this one as well. I don't have Apple TV Plus myself, but...
Do a trial.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I haven't used a trial yet.
Another movie that is coming out this weekend, if you're wanting to do something more comedy with people who have played superheroes...
Oh, okay.
Red Notice, starring The Rock, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot.
Interesting.
So we got Wonder Woman, Deadpool, and Black Adam coming together.
I forgot because, fandom showed us some of the new actual, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Black Adam. Some actual stills and some video of that.
The movie is in the world of international crime. An Interpol agent attempts to hunt down and capture the world's most wanted art thief, which I believe is Gal Gadot's character.
Oh, that's cool.
That is only getting 42%. I'm not surprised. It's kind of like the whole, the hitman's wife's bodyguard, like those types of movies. That's what it reminds me of. It's supposed to be action-packed and silly. It's not supposed to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just supposed to be fun.
It's a popcorn movie.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Another one that's coming out, I hadn't heard of this. It's called The Beta Test. And the only reason I bring it up, one, because it's a mystery and thriller, but also comedy, I guess.
Okay.
It's got 96% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? The Beta Test?
And it's a married Hollywood agent receives a mysterious letter from an anonymous sexual encounter and becomes ensnared in a sinister world of lying, murder, and infidelity.
Ooh.
So it's probably more drama, but because it's who's doing it, what's going on, that's where you get more of that mystery kind of situation. But yeah, like I said, it's getting really high reviewed. There's actors like, I might recognize you, but they're not really huge mainstream actors. So
right? Yeah,
if you kind of like seeing movies where you may have an up and comer or somebody that, because that's a problem sometimes when you watch movies with big named actors, you kind of just assume that's who they're gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's the problem with that happened with a lot of the actors from Friends. You just, you know, Matt LeBlanc, you just kind of assume he's Joey and everything,
for
everything. And so when you have these actors, you're like, I don't really know you. I don't have any, you know, any thoughts on who you're supposed to
be.
No
preconceived notions
exactly.
When it comes down to it. Yeah.
And one other one to point out, it is called Lantern's Lane. No reviews as of now, but it is a horror comedy.
Oh, okay. So if you're still in the spooky vibes.
Right. It's a recent college graduate and her estranged high school friends return to Lantern's Lane, the location of a creepy urban legend, and must fight to survive the night.
Oh, sounds like something along the lines of I Know What You Did Last Summer or Jeepers Creepers or something along those lines.
Again, a fairly unknown cast. A lot of people are refusing to get into the Christmas spirit yet because it's still, we haven't had Thanksgiving yet, which I don't blame them. So this is a good way to kind of stay in the spookiness.
There you go.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.